Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read from verses 1 up until verse 3. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 1 up until verse 3. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, but you would be able to follow in whichever translation you are using. The text reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." Let's close our eyes and pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we come to you. Lord, we do acknowledge that in and of ourselves we are helpless, we are weak, and we are unable to understand your word, much less obey it, if you do not condescend in grace and change our hearts. And so I ask, O Lord, that you would soften the hearts of your people, that they would receive from you this morning holy food, that they would be refreshed in your word. And that I, Lord, would be granted much liberty and unction to speak freely and boldly, that they might hear what you have to say to them, and that we all would be encouraged in your word. We pray this for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and for our joy as well. Amen. Amen. So far in the series on the Christian home, we've looked at quite a few different topics. We looked at the institution of marriage. Was marriage a social construct, or did God himself create this institution? We've also looked at Christ-centered communication. We've looked at the roles of women and of men, the conduct of women and of men. And now this morning we turn to look at children within the Christian home. Now, there is a temptation here from us when we see that the text doesn't directly address us, that it's not actually for us, that it has nothing to say to us. And maybe when you heard, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," you kind of just drifted off. So I'm going to caution you, please don't. There is lots of application for you also. Now, before we get into the text, let me share a story with you. I remember being about 10, 11 years old, and like many 10, 11-year-olds, I had a big dream, right? Life hasn't hit you yet in any significant way, so if I could say what my dream was to play soccer at a professional level, right? I was going to play for Liverpool Football Club. I was only 10. But for now, I was playing in Athlone, and I was playing for a club called Turfle United, and we played every Saturday. Weren't the best club in any way, but I remember one Saturday morning, scouts came to watch us play soccer. And the scouts were there to see who it is would make it to the next league, if you will, what they called Sunday League. So if you were quite good in your own league, we'll start a new league, Sunday League, and this one is even better. You'd play at a higher level. And so, to my delight, after the game, the scouts came to our coach and said there's two players in the team that he would like to take to play Sunday League. And I was one of them. As you can imagine, my dream is coming through. Liverpool, here I come, right? I was excited, I was buzzing, as you can imagine. I get home, my parents were working, or rather they got home, and I couldn't wait to tell them. I was so excited, particularly my dad. They get home and I tell them, "Listen, here's what happened. They chose me to play Sunday League." And immediately my mom says, "No." So, "What do you mean, no?" "No, you can't go, because otherwise you'd miss church." Now, I confess, I was very, very upset. Now, fortunately, hindsight gives us much wisdom. And when I look back, that moment, that time taught me something quite significant. It taught me that God is to be worshipped above all things, even more than soccer. He was more important than your favorite sport. It was a hard lesson to take as a 10-year-old, but nonetheless, one that I appreciate looking back. Now, I say that because at the time I didn't feel like it was a joy, I didn't feel like it was for my good, but my obedience at that point worked for my good and for my joy. It taught me something big. My mom knew better. And all obedience works to our good. All obedience works to our joy. So keep that in mind as we work through this text. Now we'll look at this text under two headings, if you would. The first simply is the command stated. Here we'll look at what this command is actually saying. We'll try and explain what it's saying here. And the second point is the command sweetened, where we see there is a benefit to keeping this commandment. There is a promise attached to it. So let's look at the first point, the command stated. The first thing I want you to notice in this text is that obedience, in verse 1, is a way in which you can honor your parents. Notice that the Apostle Paul grounds your duty to obey your parents in the fifth commandment, which God himself spoke from Mount Sinai. And this duty to obey your parents is a very serious thing. How serious? Well, listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to verse 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take a hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This, our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. It's a very serious command. Now, granted, we don't live in an old covenant theonomic kingdom, and the church itself, with its structures, serves to discipline such children. But still, you can see how serious the commandment is, right? John Calvin, in speaking of this, says that those who abusively or stubbornly violate parental authority are monsters and not men. You see, this relationship of children to parents is extremely important. It is the first relationship we all ever encounter. This relationship within a family is where we learn about authority and honor, and hopefully grace, trust, and love. Now, as we look at this text, let's start at the most basic level and ask, who is the command directed toward? We see it is directed toward children in verse 1. Children, both boys and girls. And who are they to obey? Their parents. Now, the word parents naturally refers to both mother and father, but we shouldn't press this too strictly. Under the title parents, we would apply that to all those who stand in that position of authority. In the providence of God, sometimes circumstances dictate that grandfathers and grandmothers and father-in-laws and mother-in-laws and aunts and uncles have to step into that role. And if that's where you are, obedience is owed to them as well. Now, this commandment assumes that children are living under the roof of their parents. However, it does have application to those who are outside the house. We'll get to that later. For now, we ask the question, what does obedience actually mean? It says children are to obey their parents. Well, what does that mean? William Googe defines it this way. He says that obedience is to listen with humble submission. It is to listen with humble submission. It has with it a profound respect for your parents, so much so that you would follow their advice, instructions, and commands, even when it is hard. And this can range from something as menial as doing the dishes to something as big as perhaps cutting friendship with one of your friends with whom your parents has actually warned you about. Colossians chapter 3 verse 20 says, you must obey your parents in everything. In everything. James Montgomery Boyce says that this obedience is the fundamental relationship of children to their parents. It's the fundamental relationship of children to their parents. In other words, children, this is your commandment. This commandment is directly addressing you. Also notice here, the commandment is to obey your parents, plural, not just your parent. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. So let me confess here, when I was younger and my dad would be working and I'm at home with my mom and she'd ask me to do something, without hesitation, I would refuse to do it. It's just my mom. Until she uttered those scary words, I'm telling dad. Right? Perhaps you can relate. Now, funny as it may be, in God's eyes, that is a gross form of disobedience. Just a quick note here, dads, you should never allow your children to disrespect their mom, though it might give you a bit of an ego boost. You see, although this commandment is directed to children, parents are required to enforce it. Parents are required to enforce this. Now, children, back to you. This obedience is good, it is your duty, and it means that you have to follow what your parents have to say in everything. And a lot of the time that means we do things we don't always want to do. It means that we do things that doesn't always make us feel good. That's not always easy, like I said. But if you look at verse 1 again, notice that this obedience is in the Lord. This obedience is in the Lord. So the very obedience you have toward your parents is the obedience you should have toward God. So if I ask, do you want to honor God? And you say, yes. And then I would say, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Again, listen to Colossians chapter 3 verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Think about that for a moment. God gets joy. God is happy. God is pleased when children obey their parents. And when God calls us to obedience, as He is calling you to obedience, He expects us to do that with trust and with joy. And that means all complaining is out. It means all complaining is out. For example, when your parents ask you to throw out the dirt or to do the dishes, and your first response is to drop your shoulders and say, yo, really? That's complaining. It's not doing it with a joyful spirit. And at that point, you are dishonoring your parents. You see, your obedience both externally, what you do, and internally, how you do it matters. It matters to God. But now you might say, whoa, do I really have to obey my parents in everything? Well, generally speaking, yes, in everything. But all obedience does have limits. All obedience does have limits. A good principle is established in Acts chapter 5. When it comes to any authority structure in our lives, whether it be at the state level, at the church level, in marriage between husband and wife, and now between children and their parents, there is this principle stated by Peter. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, he says, "We must obey God rather than men." And this means that your parents cannot command you to do something God has forbidden. And your parents cannot forbid you to do something God has commanded. So where parents do this, you are in sin. God is the one to whom we owe primary obedience. And also, parents, with respect, your relationship with your children changes, right? When your child is 5 years old, you are able to enforce obedience in a particular way. But when your child is 25 years old and is married and has children, perhaps an authoritative, "because I said so," is not appropriate. So, when children form new family units, we spoke about this earlier in the series, children are to leave you and then to cleave to their spouse. And this is a kind of break that is made with you. Your relationship should be different now. Now, granted, in our world, many people get married a lot at an older age. So I think a similar break is established when children leave the house, or when children are able to contribute financially to the household. When children are able to contribute to the bills that are paid and provide for their own food, for example. You do not treat them like they're still 5 years old. At this point, like I said, enforcing obedience might not always be appropriate. And from a child's point of view, even though you're an adult, this doesn't mean that we, without grace and honor, just dismiss what our parents have to say. Where possible, even as adults, we can make an effort to please and honor our parents. This text says that we should obey our parents in the Lord because this is right. And this means that this command is taught to us by the very nature of things. In other words, this command is so clear that even without God's divine revelation in the Bible, we know that this is right. It's written upon the conscience of our hearts. We are to obey our parents. Think about that. Every culture recognizes that this is the case. Not only Christians. Every other religion recognizes that this is the case. Not only Christians. It is, to say it simply, common sense. As an example, the first century Roman Empire, Augustus, believed that the family was of primary importance. He portrayed the empire as a family under the benevolent rule of the emperor. And he passed legislation penalizing divorce, adultery, and familial disobedience. He penalized them for that. Now, like I said, this has immediate application for young children within the house, of course. But all of us have parents, whether they are still with us or whether they have passed away. So we have to ask ourselves, how is it that we can honor our parents now that we're adults? The first way to honor your parents is simply to forgive them. Since all of our parents were born into Adam's sinful race, being a part of humanity, all of them have sinned against us. whether intentional or not. Perhaps they shouted at you when you needed encouragement. Perhaps their discipline turned into abuse. Perhaps they missed every sporting event you had. Perhaps they never cared for you the way they should have. And perhaps their sin was so great that you struggle to think of anything good about them. Even then, we are still called to forgive. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came down to die for sinners such as us. How then can we withhold forgiveness to others? The second way we can honor our parents is by seeking their wisdom. In a world where it is considered noble to sort out your own problems with no help, but to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, the Bible says that generally speaking, wisdom comes with age. Job chapter 12 verse 12 says, wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. So when we face big decisions then, surely wisdom means that we should seek the advice of our parents. Even if we don't necessarily follow that advice, they know more than us. They've been through more than us. Honor them. Seek the wisdom. Thirdly, don't abandon them. Don't abandon your parents. Another way to honor your parents is to care for them by simply being there. One of the primary complaints of the elderly is that of loneliness. Listen to David in Psalm 71 verse 9. He says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. This was David's fear, and most likely it is the fear of our parents also. Tim Kelly says here that we honor our parents by giving them the assurance that we will not forsake them in their old age. Just as they cared for us, we will care for them. This is our responsibility, and it ought to be our joy. He says further, at a time when millions of elderly adults are living alone, consigned to nursing homes and hospitals, cared for by professionals rather than family members, Christians have the opportunity to display special honor. And as verse 1 says, this is right. This accords with natural law. Not only does it accord with natural law, but it accords with divine law. Look at verse 2. It says, honor your father and your mother. This is, of course, the fifth commandment which God himself spoke. So that is the command stated. That's what it means. Now, our second point is the command sweetened. Now often when I was younger, in response to any duty placed upon me, I would respond with the word that has sent many a parent up a wall. Why? Why do I have to do this? Why should I do that? God in his grace condescends here to the minds of young people by sweetening the commandment in this way. Look at verse 2 again. It says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, before we get to what that promise is, many have objected here saying, whoa, Paul's wrong here. This isn't the first commandment with a promise. Doesn't the second commandment come with a promise too? So if you would, keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 6, but turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We'll read from verse 4 to verse 6. Many have said here there is a promise with the commandment. Exodus chapter 20, from verse 4 to verse 6, it says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." So many have said, there's the promise, so Paul must be wrong. But strictly speaking, it's actually not a promise. As William Gouge points out, it is a declaration of God's justice. This is a declaration of God's justice on those who are disobedient and on those who keep his law. And the promise here is not a particular promise, but instead a general promise to those who keep his, look at verse 6 in chapter 20, commandments. Not commandment, it is plural. So this is a general promise. But if you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, we see here that there is a particular promise given to sweeten this commandment. And what's the promise? Look at verse 3. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 6 says, "That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." Now, again, this is taken from the Ten Commandments. And the promise attached to the people of Israel is actually here universalized and extended to all people. Now, this text has been misunderstood to be a mathematical formula. This is how I grew up understanding the text. Obey me, then you will live, you'll get extensions on your lifespan, if you will. Kevin DeYoung says this should not be understood as saying, hey, if I get 10 obedience points today, will I get 1 year added to my life? No. Rather, this should be understood as a promise, and within it there is a recognition of the way the world works. So the way the world works can be stated in a simple principle. Children who honor their parents will live a better and a longer life. A few examples should illustrate this. A small child who obeys his parents will regularly be taken out of harm's way. Think about it. You got a kid and you would say this, "Don't climb on the roof of the church. It's dangerous." Or "Don't play with that knife. It's sharp. You'll hurt yourself." So an obedient child will here be taken out of harm's way. And think about it. As a child, all of the dangerous places and dangerous situations that you landed in, well, they're not usually because you disobeyed your parents. Also think about this. An obedient child will be spared bad habits and bad friends and bad relationships, which tend to bring chaos into one's life. My parents warned me of certain friends and of certain habits, and in my disobedience, I landed up in some pretty shoddy situations. Perhaps you can relate. Odkind Hughes says here that a child who obeys and honors his or her parents will be far more likely to develop helpful patterns. And Kevin DeYoung says this, and I quote again, "Anyone in the social sciences field, whether liberal or conservative, has to acknowledge that study after study has shown that the best predictor for health as an adult and for making it through school, staying out of jail, keeping off of drugs and avoiding promiscuity, and whatever other pattern of social benefit, is what happens in the home." Again, there are all sorts of exceptions, but the best predictor is whether you had a mom and a dad who loved you and were there for you, and whether you listened to them and followed them. This is the way the world works. Now, this isn't only confirmed by experience, scholarship, and other pastors, but it is confirmed by the Bible itself. Hear what Scripture has to say in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17 says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. So to obey your parents works for your own benefit. That's the promise. If you obey your parents, it will go well with you. You should trust God in that. I do remember when I was in high school, maybe 14 or 15 years old, there came a point where I didn't want to be around my dad anymore. So what we would do was every Saturday we'd go to the mall, we'd play games, we'd shoot pool, and we'd watch soccer. That was just what we did. And it came to this point where I was actually embarrassed to be seen with him. Because when we're in the mall, all of your friends from school would be there, and I didn't want to be seen with my dad. That wasn't cool, you see. And at that point, I believed that my relationship with my friends was more important than the relationship I had with my dad. You see, their instruction mattered more, their praise mattered more, their praise was more meaningful. So I consciously made a decision to instead spend more time with them. Again, I thought I didn't need him anymore, when in reality, those were the very years I needed him the most. But in my disobedience and in my pride, I lost those years with my own dad, and to this day, I regret that immensely. And more than that, in those years, I formed habits, got into friendships, got into relationships that only worked to my destruction. So if you are tempted to think, I'm at this age where I don't actually need my parents anymore, I'm too cool for that, I need my friends' instruction, trust God that now is actually the time when you need him the most. That's when you need your parents most. So treasure them. Obey your parents, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. And let me close off with this. I know that this is by no means an easy commandment, even though God himself has sweetened it with a promise. And perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, my parents aren't spiritual. I'm a Christian. My parents don't obey God. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care about church. Why should I obey them? Or maybe you think, you know what? I know more than my own parents. I know more than them. What do they know? They lived in a different time, in a different generation. Well, think about this. Jesus Christ was the only perfect man to ever exist. And his parents were sinners. Jesus never sinned. He never did anything wrong, and his parents did. And yet, when they would ask him to do something, when they commanded of him obedience, when they issued instruction, he, our Lord, obeyed them. He obeyed his parents perfectly. The Lord Jesus Christ never thought to himself, what do my parents know? No, he was humble and he trusted God in his obedience. He knew that this would work to his good. So this commandment is not merely a commandment to enforce obedience upon you, and that you would receive practical benefits in your life, although it is that. It's more than that. This commandment is to make you more like Jesus Christ. I said it earlier, if you want to please God, you should obey your parents. That's true. And if you want to be like Jesus himself, then obey your parents in everything. And to the adults, how do you honor your parents? How do we honor our parents? We forgive them. We forgive them for the sins they have committed toward us. We seek their wisdom. And we don't abandon them in their old age. Let us honor them, for this is right. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I do ask that we as your people would hear what your word has to say to us. And where you have convicted us, where you have brought certain memories to mind, where you have laid upon us duties in our own heart, help us to be obedient. And for those who are younger here in the church, Lord, where everyone and everything around them tells them to disobey their parents, I ask that you'd give them so much grace that they would look at your word and trust you, that they would honor you, that they would seek to be like Jesus Christ himself in perfect obedience for their good. And Lord, for those of us who are now adults, who have our own family units, help us to be gracious to our parents. Help us to forgive them. To seek wisdom. To not abandon them. To care for them as they cared for us. Help us to do this, Lord, we ask, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of the gospel, that we might shine our lights into this world, and also for our own joy. We do ask this, Lord. Amen. Let's stand now as we sing our final